Good morning, girls and boys.
Good morning.
Nice to see you. We're turning to a new verse in Hebrews 11, verse 7. We're thinking about Noah. It's good to think about Noah in these days, because the Lord Jesus said that as the days were in Noah's time, so shall they be just before he returned. So the situation that Noah faced is what the world is going to face again. A similar situation. Oh, there'll not be a matter of a flood, but there will be the matter of worldwide rebellion against God and God's pronounced judgment falling upon that sin. And we need to be very conscious of that and live in the light of that. The hymn we sang this morning, based as it is upon Genesis chapter 6 and the verse 3, was very, very suitable. O sinner, the Saviour is calling for thee. Long, long has he called thee in vain. He called thee when joy lent its crown to thy days.
He called thee in sorrow and pain.
In the days of Noah, the Lord patiently bore with a wicked world and showed his kindness and showed his grace unto a world by having Noah do two things. We'll speak about them shortly, but I'll just mention them now. He had Noah do two things. He built an ark, and while he was building the ark, he conducted a gospel campaign for 120 years. That's how long God held back the judgment in the days of Noah. 120 years. And all that time, Noah built the ark, and that itself was a testimony of what was coming. But he also preached and explained why he was building an ark. Oh, there's so much there for you and for me. So let's look at the verse 7 and consider just what it says. By faith, oh, there's our friend, faith, speaking again. By faith, Noah. That unites all the people mentioned here in this chapter. Every verse nearly has a new name, and they're all linked by this one thing that was found in their heart. Faith, belief in God. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. That's what I'm going to be talking about today. Things not seen as yet. What the preacher who takes up the Bible and explains it is dealing with is things not seen as yet. The judgment about which I will speak in a few minutes, and about which Noah preached for 120 years, wasn't seen while he was preaching. He said it was coming, but there was no evidence of it as far as man was concerned. And I can imagine many of them listening to Noah and watching what he was doing, saying, what is wrong with that man? He's not right in the head, as we would say. We don't see anything of what it is he's preaching about. Don't you take that attitude regarding the matters that I will set before you. There may be nothing now to show of these things, but when God says they're coming, then you can be sure that's what will happen. He was warned of God of things not seen as yet, and then he was moved by fear, because he believed what God said about judgment. He was fearful of it, and acted accordingly. If you're crossing a field, and you see a big bull coming in your direction, there's one thing happens. You're moved towards the hedge and the gate, and you're moved by fear of that bull. You're not going to stand about. You're going to run as hard as you can for the gate. Moved by fear. Well, Noah was moved by fear. In light of what he heard, he did what God told him to do. Moved by fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So I got to get to this verse this morning and seek, as God helps me, to explain it. Who was Noah? Well, he came of good stock. His great grandfather was Enoch. His grandfather was Methuselah, the man who lived longer than any other man in this world. Then his dad was Lamech. So he came of a godly family. You know something, boys and girls? The chances are your mum is saved and your dad is saved. And maybe you can go back further than that to Granda and Granny. And maybe even go back further than that and find in those who have gone before you the mercy of God. Because I think it true to say God works in families. Just as he worked here in a family. So that there was found in the ancestry of Noah the mercy of God in the lives of those who went before. And now God in mercy is dealing with Noah. Now, could I explain or set before you one reason why this may be so? I think it would be the case. Lamech prayed for Noah. Methuselah prayed for Noah. And Enoch would have prayed for those who would be born of his family. And that's why if you're saved today, you're saved. Because those who love you prayed for you. If you're not saved, chances are those who love you are praying for you that you might get saved. So, observing that fact, let me give you another little bit of information. It is believed that the command of God to Noah to begin building the ark came about 1,550 years after the creation. So you think on that. 1,550 years. So from perfection, from a perfect world that God created, and a perfect man and a perfect woman, the world had gone down until now it was about to be destroyed because of the sin of man. Oh, boys and girls, sin is so destructive. And in that short period, this is how far down man had come. So we're looking today back 4,500 years to when Noah began to build the ark. That's not that far back. Not far back compared to the number of years the evolutionist speaks of. He would talk about millions of years. Millions and millions and millions of years regarding how things began here in the world. Well, of course, the evolutionist rejects God's truth and he's blind and ignorant and guessing in the dark. The Bible tells us how long it is since the world began. And it tells us, because it has given us generation by generation by generation right back to Adam. And it can be calculated, and wise men, like a former Archbishop of Armagh, his name was Usher. Maybe you'll remember that name. That's back in the 1600s. But he was a very learned man, a very, very well-read man, and he studied this matter out. I should say that he was a good man. He loved the Lord. And one of the great evidences of his love for the Lord was he was very kind to our forefathers. When many, many in authority were opposed to our Presbyterian forefathers, Archbishop Usher was very sympathetic and did what he could for them. Indeed, it was believed that had he lived, he would have become a Presbyterian and left the Church of Ireland. So, it's his calculation of how far back the days of Noah are that we're relying upon. So let me come to the verse then and observe with you that Noah built the ark because he believed God. That's what made him do what he did. He believed God. That made him different from others. It says that by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark. The Lord had told him that judgment was coming. You read in Genesis chapter 6, verse 13, these words, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." That's what God told Noah. God shared this great secret with Noah. Listen, boys and girls, listen to me. God's doing the same with you today. God's sharing a secret with you today. The secret is, judgment is coming. He's going to destroy the world as we know it today. He's going to judge sin in the same manner as he judged it back in the days of Noah. He destroyed sinners. He did it then with the flood. There's a much more terrible judgment coming to those who rebel against God. And God's telling you this. Are you listening? Are you listening? Can you hear God say that to you? Because Noah listened. And because he listened, he believed. And he did what God commanded. Believing God's word, Noah acted very differently from the rest of the world. He went in the very opposite direction. All the world was rejoicing in its sin and wickedness and indulging in every form of sinful pleasure. But Noah prepared an ark. Judgment was coming. A flood was coming. He needed a place of refuge. He built an ark as God commanded him. He built it at God's instructions. God designed the ark, told Noah how to place every nail, every plank, every item on the ark, how he was to put it all together. Noah could never have built it on his own. He didn't know anything about boats. God told him, and he built this ark because he believed God. You know, what he did appeared all the more strange to man because Noah was warning for 120 years of a flood. And do you know something? In those days, there was no such thing as rain. Well, we've made up for it here in Ireland ever since, but there was no rain back in the days of Noah. Didn't rain. You say, well, how were crops watered? How did grass grow, trees grow? How did they grow if there was no rain? The answer's in the Bible. Genesis chapter 2 and the verse 5 says that God watered the earth by a mist. Now, that still happens. This last couple of days when you get up in the morning, what was there? Well, there was snow, you say. Yes, there was. But there was also mist, like a fog. And a fog is only drops of water floating in the air and settling on the ground and watering the ground. We call it dew, another term for it. And most mornings we'll go out, the grass is wet with dew. And that's how it's watered. And back in the days of Noah, there was no rain, but God watered the earth with dew, with a mist. So when Noah was saying there's going to be a flood, it appeared that he was talking complete nonsense, since no one had ever seen rain or heard anything about it. And he was considered a fool. And you know, boys and girls, those today who believe the gospel and preach the gospel and witness to the gospel are considered fools. Sometimes it's one of the chief reasons why people don't get saved. Maybe if you're not saved this morning, that's why you're not saved. Because if you get saved, you know that friends will think you a fool. I remember Dr. Paisley telling me, well, he didn't just tell me, he told others who were in his lecture, for I was a student way back in 1965, and he said there was a man, I wish I could remember the name of the man, but he used to begin his year of study with his students by taking them one at a time for a walk downtown. But he made them wear a jacket with a sign on the front and a sign on the back. And the sign on the front said, I am a fool for Jesus Christ. He was declaring himself one of those who believed the gospel and therefore considered a fool by the world. But on the back, which people would read as he passed them, having read what was written on his front, and as he passed, they would have read, whose fool are you? And he used to do that with the students in order to humble them, make them ready to bear witness, bear reproach for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul wrote concerning the gospel that the preaching of the gospel is foolishness to them that don't believe it. Oh, listen, boys and girls, I hope that at this moment, you don't think what I'm saying is foolish. Maybe even wishing it was all over, that the assembly was completed and you could get away from listening to the gospel and get chattering to your friends. God help you, if that's what you think. Let me say something more. His witnessing condemned the world. That's what the text says. Moved with fear, built an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. His preaching and his building of the ark condemned the world. There's a day coming when God will condemn the world. Do you know what he will use to condemn the world? Your witness, if you're a Christian. He will say to those who rejected the gospel, do you not remember being told by your friend in school, by your brother, by your father or mother? Do you not remember being told by your minister that you needed to be saved? That's the means God will use to condemn the world one day. And the world will hear again what they had heard but didn't listen to in earlier times. But notice, please, what Noah did in faith, in obedience to God, saved him and his family. Saved him and his family from judgment. Thy faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I look back and I realize that the day my dad got saved, my mother got saved, was the day in which, in the mercy of God, led on to me getting saved and the rest of our family circle getting saved. Aye, and I can say my children getting saved. That's how it was with Noah. What he heard from God, he believed. And as a result, he lived and witnessed. And what he did saw his family saved. For they all got into the ark. Paul the Apostle was in jail on one occasion. And God brought the jailer under deep conviction. And in the middle of the night, deeply troubled, that jailer came and fell down before Paul, and they said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul and his friend Silas answered him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house, your family. And that night, he did believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and so too did his family. Oh, by obeying God, Noah not only saw his own soul saved, and his own life saved, but he saw the lives of his family saved. One final thing. Notice that it says, he became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know what an heir is. H-E-I-R. It is someone who, because they are favored and loved by someone with possessions, are told, when I die, I'm going to leave you some of my possession, maybe all of my possession. You are my heir. And in the case of Noah, he became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Because everyone who believes God, they have bestowed upon them great possessions. You mightn't think yourself rich this morning, young Christian, and I couldn't begin to try and describe the riches that will come to you one day from the hand of God. Peter said this, and I let him describe the riches that will be yours if you're saved today. Not yours if you're not saved. Don't you think for a minute this is coming your way if you're not saved. But if you're saved, listen to what Peter said. He said, as a result of believing in Christ, we have entered into and can expect an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. There's a whole lot of words there, and I hope you'll study them. And by the way, those words are found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. He describes the inheritance that belongs to you today if you're saved. Maybe your dad will leave you something, money in the bank. But you know, money in the bank fades. What £1,000 today will buy you won't buy you as much a year from now. will buy you even less 5 years from now, because money loses its value. Back in 1966, I was presented very kindly with a new car. Do you know how much it costs? Less than £600. A new car today will cost you 10 times that, 20 times that, maybe even 30 times that, because money has lost its value since 1966. God's inheritance fadeth not away. It doesn't lose its value. Oh, boys and girls, be like Noah. Believe God and become an inheritor of eternal life. May the Lord bless you today. Give you understanding in these things. Let's bow in prayer. Write your word on every heart, Lord Jesus. Please melt every heart. Even now, reach out and take hold of the mind and the heart and the soul of the boys and girls here, that they might heed what thou said to them through thy word this day. Bless the school. Take care of it. Remember the principal in that course that she's engaged in. And all here, undertake, Lord, in the running of the school today, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.